Champion Forest North Klein, good morning to you. I know that you have just experienced incredible worship, and it's time now to open God's Word, which is always the highlight of our services. We put a premium on teaching and preaching God's Word because we know that this is the primary tool that God uses to instruct us, lead us, challenge us, and encourage us. It is His Word, the Bible. I'm so excited to briefly introduce to you a new series that we're starting today called The Kingdom Project. God first put this idea in my heart to preach a series like this way back in 2013. I was flying into Romania on a mission trip, and as I looked out my window, I saw so many homes stretched out across the landscape, and I just sensed a burden growing in my heart. It was a burden, a sense of urgency, if you will, and just felt, how are all these people and all of these homes going to hear the gospel? I knew we had radio and internet and television and even missionaries and pastors that were serving in local churches and different places attempting to take the gospel to people. But I also knew that even with all of these resources and all of these different types of churches and ministries taking place, even then, there were just too many people to reach. How could we ever ensure that they all heard the good news that Jesus died on a cross for their sins and was raised to life, championing sin and death forever? It was in those moments that I believe the Lord impressed on my heart the solution to getting the message of Christ, not just to every single person in Romania, but every single person in Houston, Texas, every single person in your neighborhood, every single person in your office complex or the school that you go to. The solution to getting the gospel to them is you. It's me. And that's what this series is all about. We're going to discuss over the next 7 weeks the topic that Jesus spoke more about than any other topic in Scripture. It is the kingdom of God. And we're going to define it and discover what our specific role in the kingdom is, not only as a church, but as individuals. The Kingdom Project is a dream. And I'm asking you to dream with me. What would it look like if every single member of Champion Forest woke up every single day with an intense desire to do as our focus statement suggests, and that is to advance the kingdom? What would it look like if we prayed kingdom prayers as Jesus taught? If we discovered and lived out our kingdom purpose using our skills and education and passion and the gifting that God has entrusted to each of us? I believe on a personal level, if we live like this, we would experience the abundant life that Jesus promised. And in the process, we would make a massive kingdom impact that could change and transform our lives, the communities in which we live, in every place we ever go. So I'm going to pray, and I want our North Klein campus pastor, Stephen Morris, to come and preach the first message in our new series, The Kingdom Project. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do welcome your spirit into this place. We have worshiped you in song. And now, Lord, through the teaching and preaching of your word, would you show us a vision of what it would look like to live for your kingdom, so that our lives could make a maximum kingdom impact and difference in the world in which we live. In Jesus' name, amen.
So for us, with spring coming, and spring is coming quickly, we only get a few days of winter, and I feel like we've already had it so far this year. But for our family, spring coming means baseball. Now, there's a few other families from our church family that are a part of one of our teams, the team that our fourth grader plays on, and I'm going to say a phrase this morning, and if you're on or a part of this team, this phrase is very familiar to you. You hear it all the time. Our players have heard it, our coaches have heard it, our parents have heard it, and that's because our head coach, who is sitting probably on this side of the worship center this morning, says it often, and he says it loudly. When our kids throw, they are told over and over again to stay on top of the ball. Right, we talked about that this morning in the atrium as we were talking about our practice for this afternoon, right? That there is no phrase used more at any of our practices. Our pitchers hear it, our infielders hear it, our outfielders hear it. Every player has been told over and over and over again when they're throwing that they need to stay on top of the ball. They know it, right? They know that's what they're supposed to do. They know that's the right way to throw. But I've got this vivid memory of my son about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. He's throwing, and our coach is instructing him sort of loudly to stay on top of the ball. And I watched, and no adjustments were made to his throwing. And so again, he's told, stay on top of the ball. And again, he continues to throw the same way. No adjustments have been made. And so I called him over, and I said, hey, bud, when you throw, what does coach want you to do? He says, coach wants me to stay on top of the ball. I said, that's right. what does that mean? And he said, I have no idea. That's raising boys in one sentence right there. I have no idea. And so I explained to him, hey, you hear the phrase a lot. It's become a common phrase to you. It's become routine to you. But you don't really get it. I explained what it meant, and everything about the way he threw the ball and saw the game when it came to the defensive part of the game, everything changed, right? He understood it, and then he could live it out. Right, think about it. The phrase wasn't uncommon, but when he grasped it, it changed everything for him. If you've got a Bible, open up to Matthew chapter 4. If you've spent time reading the Bible, especially the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the teachings of Jesus, you've seen an incredibly common phrase. A phrase that's repeated often, and that's the kingdom of God. Right, because when Jesus came teaching, he was constantly teaching about the kingdom of God. He taught on the kingdom of God more than anything else, and there's not even a close second. And so for us, as we read the Bible and begin to understand the phrase, the concept, the reality of the kingdom of God, it's going to change our view, not just of a silly baseball game. It's going to change our view of life. It's going to change our view of heaven. It's going to change our view of eternity. And it's going to change our view of what is going on in every aspect of our life right here in the here and now. So as we study the kingdom of God these next several weeks, I want to encourage you to lean in. I want to encourage you to take notes and to think about it, right? Not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the week. Let your heart and let your mind be saturated with thoughts of the kingdom of God. So as a church family, we can do what God's called us to do. We can advance his kingdom and penetrate the darkness that's here in a dark, dark world. Our focus statement as a church family, think about what it is. It says, our church family, Champion Forest, we seek to advance what? The kingdom of God, not our kingdom. Not our little church. We seek to advance the kingdom of God. How? By making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. Advance the kingdom. Right, those words are important. Right? We don't talk about building the kingdom. We know God does that. Our role is to advance his kingdom. And Pastor Jarrett just said it, right? The Kingdom Project, this series, it's an idea, it's a dream, it's a prayer, and we're asking you to come alongside and just think and dream and pray with us. What would it look like if everyone in here and everyone serving in kids ministry across the way, right? If everyone in our church family, if we just woke up, and our desire every day, right, that the beat of our heart was the beat of the heart of Jesus there in the Gospels, that we were all about advancing the kingdom of God. What would it look like if we prayed kingdom prayers like Jesus teaches in the Gospels? If we discovered and lived out our kingdom purpose in life? If we used the skills that we have? There's a lot of different skills in this room. If we use the educations that we have, again, there's a lot of different realities there. The passions that we have, the hobbies that we have, the influence that we have, the gift mix that God has given us, what if we used it to truly, day in and day out, advance the kingdom of God? Our prayer, and I want you to pray with me, is that over these next several weeks, God would move in a major way in our hearts and lives as we seek to understand his kingdom. And as we get started today, first we have to define the kingdom. Right, we don't want a phrase, a get on top of the ball kind of phrase where we hear the phrase and don't fully grasp the reality of it. So when we say kingdom, when Jesus talks about the kingdom, and remember, this is the most talked about subject from Jesus in the Gospels. What is he really talking about? If you look in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, you're going to see, I'll read it in just a minute, that he starts teaching and preaching with the kingdom of God. Then we're going to flip over to Acts 1, verse 6, 7, and 8, and see in the last discussion he has with his disciples before he goes to heaven, they're still talking about the kingdom of God. Matthew 4, 17, it says, from that time, that's the start of his earthly ministry. So as Jesus began teaching and preaching publicly, this is the time, it says, Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, you're going to see those two phrases all throughout the New Testament as we walk this series out. Those phrases are interchangeable with one another. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, it's the same thing. Now, flip over to Acts chapter 1. Jesus starts saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is here, it's at hand. And in Acts 1, and by the way, if you're going through our Bible reading plan in Acts 1, you've seen this already. And as you've read those first several chapters of Acts, you have seen teaching on the kingdom of God. If you're not reading along with us, I'd encourage you to jump in. If you don't have a daily Bible reading plan, you can text devotional to 77069. You can scan the QR code on your screen and click Bible reading plan. I want to encourage you, right, make time in God's Word a priority in your life. You make room for what you value. Let's value the Word of God and read it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, it says, when they had come together, that's Jesus and his disciples, after he's already been crucified, after he rose from the grave, it says, when they came together, they said, Lord, at this time will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Why would they ask that? Because that's all Jesus has talked about. He has talked about the kingdom of God for his entire ministry. He's been preparing them for that. He has been teaching them about the realities of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, listen, it's not for you to know the times that the Father has fixed by his authority, but, and this was the verse I gave us to memorize a few weeks ago, my kids have got it down, have got it down. I hope that you guys have spent some time memorizing this as well. Hide God's word in our heart. Acts 1:8, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very end of the earth. You will spread my kingdom in the hearts and lives of people to the very end of the earth. Let's define the kingdom. Let me give you a few definitions here I've found in our study these last several weeks. First one's from Graham Goldsworthy. He's an Anglican theologian. He's from Australia. He wrote a book called Gospel and Kingdom. It's very good. He summarizes the kingdom of God by saying this, God's people in God's place under God's rule. Robbie Gallaty, a pastor in Nashville, says the kingdom of heaven is the work of God in the world today through kingdom citizens. It's not just a realm to enter into, but also a ruling of God over our present life. So he's saying the kingdom is not just heaven that we'll experience one day when we leave this earth. He's saying the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is happening right here, right now. Rene Padilla says the gospel is the good news concerning the kingdom. And the kingdom is God's rule over the totality of life. Now, gospel is another phrase we use a lot, right? We see it all throughout the Bible, right? When we read gospel, we know that it means good news, and we know that when we use the word gospel today, most of us are talking about the good news of Jesus, meaning Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose again so that through Jesus we can have life. That's what we mean when we say gospel. It's good news, but don't miss the fact that gospel was a word that was used often back in the first century as well. And in the first century, it had kingdom tones to it. It had a royal connection, right? It had royal ties. It would announce the coming of a new king. It would announce the arrival of a kingdom. It would proclaim the reign of someone new stepping into the throne. When a soldier would return from battle and run ahead of the army and get back into the city, that they would share the gospel, the good news of who the king is now because they won, or who the king still is because they won, right? So even in the Bible, as we read gospel throughout the New Testament, we need to understand that just the very word and the phrase, it points us to the reality of the kingdom of God, right? It continues the teachings of Jesus all the way through to the end of the Bible. So as we define kingdom, if we had to sum it up, we could say it like this. The kingdom of God, it's the realm of God's rule and reign, right? The kingdom of God, it's where God rules and where God reigns. And as we seek to understand that, we need to remember that the kingdom of God, it is a reality now. It's already happening. But there's also this not yet component, right? As we wait for Jesus to return, right? And consummate his kingdom in the new creation. Some scholars would call that an inaugurated eschatology, simply meaning, listen, the end, the kingdom has already begun. Think about it like this, the kingdom of God. And we see this in Scripture. It existed in eternity, right? It was initiated in a new way, the way that we see it and understand it now, at the first coming of Jesus. It was inaugurated at the resurrection of Jesus, and it'll be consummated, finished at the return of Jesus. Listen, it existed in eternity. Psalm 103, verse 19, it says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." It's always been that way. And Daniel chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom." Everlasting, meaning that there's no beginning and there's no ending. It always has been, and it always will be, right? Where we see the rule and the reign of God, beginning to end of the Bible. And then we see he initiated the coming of his kingdom with the first coming of Jesus. And Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, it says, Jesus is asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God is going to come. And he said, listen, it's not coming in a way that can be observed. And nor will they say, look, there it is, or over there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Jesus is saying, with me, the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign, the authority, the power of God is here. He inaugurated his future kingdom as he defeated death, sin, and the grave. It is his resurrection, right? His resurrection vindicated him as the sovereign Lord. And now his kingdom continues to expand on this earth because, like he said in Acts 1:8, we are witnesses to the whole earth, testifying to, pointing to, witnessing about the kingship of King Jesus. And then, when he returns, he's going to create the new heaven, a new earth, where Scripture says we will live physically with him, we'll rule with him, we'll reign with him forever and ever. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea stands for the separation between God and man." It says, so now that the separation was no more. "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain, for all of the former things have passed away." Think about how you have read and understood the Bible for a little bit. And just to confess, a lot of times as I've read the Bible through the lens of evangelism, of sharing the gospel and leading people to Jesus. And that's right. Acts 1:8, we'll be his witnesses. Matthew 28, go and make disciples. We should read it that way. But a lot of times as we read it that way, we get caught up with the idea of taking people one day when they die to the kingdom of heaven. Which means that there's been times where I've missed to see that a lot of times that the parables and the teachings of Jesus are not only about that. They are about that, but they're not only about taking people into the presence of God at the end of life. Jesus teaches that the kingdom of heaven is in the here and now as well. John 10:10, what does Jesus say? "Well, I've come that you could have life and have that life abundantly." So yes, we see in Scripture that the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God, we will be with him in heaven physically after we die. But for those of us that have trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Bible teaches that the kingdom of heaven, it starts right here, right now. Right? What is the kingdom? It's the rule and the reign of God. And the rule and the reign of God is right here in our hearts if we have trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, right? We can't forget. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus teaches, it's about how God brought heaven down to earth. We just celebrated Christmas. At Christmas, what is Jesus to be called? Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. God here dwelling inside of us. And we know this, but we've got to remember that how we live in the here and now, it impacts the advancement of the kingdom in hearts and lives in the here and now, and ultimately for eternity. We've got to make sure that we are thinking about the kingdom, that we have the right perspective. And sometimes it means that we need to zoom out a little bit to see the bigger picture. A lot of times I think about a football game when we do that, right? Texans had a great season, didn't they? And that was fun to watch. Not yesterday, but the rest of the season was fun to watch. Do you realize, I saw somebody posted online yesterday that since the Texans have come into existence, they have won 5 playoff games. The other NFL team in Texas has only won 4 in that same time period. This would be a lot more fun if the Texans had won yesterday. They sort of, but whatever. So I'd like to argue that some of those teams that wish they would win a few more games, they need to spend a little more time looking at the big picture, right? They need to zoom out and get to the press box to see what's going on from beginning to end. The other NFL team in Texas, if they did that, their season would go a little bit longer each year and their fans would be a little happier. But if they zoomed out and looked at the bigger picture, we would miss out on some fantastic internet content that always comes at the end of their season. A lot of times they like to talk about the amount of Super Bowls they won, and so we went back and found where they store the pictures from their last Super Bowl. They've got that on the screen for you now. We showed that in our staff meeting on Wednesday, and one of our residents was sitting a few feet away from me, and I asked her if she knew what that was, and she said, "That's like a videotape that you put in a VCR, right?" She's young, I'm old. If you don't know what that is, that's what the cloud was a long time ago. It stores stuff, right? There's another great one they've got up there for you. Cowboys defense right there. Very thorough. If they got in the box, I guess that was the Texans defense yesterday too, but if they got in the box and they zoomed out and they looked at the bigger picture, they could see what's going on from beginning to end. So let's go to God's word with that idea. Zoom out a little bit, right? Imagine you're in the press box and you see the whole field of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, beginning to end, thinking about the concept of the kingdom of heaven. Flip to Genesis chapter 1, if your Bible is still open. Look at Genesis 1, starting in verse 26, and I want you to read this from the perspective of the teachings of Jesus, from the perspective of the kingdom of God, and you're going to see in here kingdom language that you probably haven't thought about before because we haven't looked at it like this from that bigger picture. It says, "Then God said," Genesis 1:26, "let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion, like that's rule, right? That's authority, that's reign. Let him have dominion over the fish and the birds and the livestock and over the whole earth, everything that creeps on the earth." Man's given rule of the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them. He said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth." He's saying, expand the kingdom, expand the reign, right? But move it out, have dominion over it, and rule over it. Like in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 1, we see God wants to establish his kingdom here on earth. But we know what happens as we look at this from that big picture perspective. Sin comes into the world. Adam and Eve, that they make the decision to choose their way over God's way. And if you really boil it down, what they did was they put themselves on the throne. That's what sin is, right? It's not just rebelling against God. Sin is replacing God and putting ourselves in his place on the throne. As we walk through this series, the next several weeks, there's a question that I'm going to use constantly. I'd encourage you to write it down. I'd encourage you to think about it and pray over this in the weeks to come. And the question is this: in my life, am I the king or is Jesus the king? In your life, are you the king or is Jesus the king? In Genesis, Adam and Eve, they chose to be the king, right? That they sinned. The result of sin for them was, instead of advancing the kingdom of God via the Garden of Eden and ruling and subduing the whole earth, Adam and Eve are kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And what did they spread? They spread the curse of sin to everyone that would be born after them. And we know what God does. We're in the press box. We're looking at the big picture. Immediately from that time, what does God do? He sets in motion. One day a person will come, the seed of a woman. He'll gain God's victory. He'll restore God's kingdom. But think about, as Jesus comes to earth, how that kingdom is won. Not by force and military might, like a lot of first century Jews expected. The kingdom of heaven, initiated right there by Jesus, it's won through submission. It's won through surrender. Even death on a cross. Look at the Old Testament. And God, through a person, through through Adam and then through Abraham and then through Israel. He established his rule and his reign. But what happened? Time and time again, they rejected his purpose. They rejected his authority. They rejected his kingship. And so by the time we get to the New Testament, what's going on? There's been 400 or so years of silence from God to the people of God. They didn't want the kingship of God. They wanted their own way. And then when Jesus comes in the New Testament, because he didn't fit their picture of what a king should be or how the kingdom should be set up, what do? They rejected Jesus. When he comes and they put him to death, God sent Jesus to advance his kingdom, to advance his reign, but the people there rejected him. But that doesn't stop the kingdom from advancing, right? Why? Because the kingdom of God, right there present in Jesus, speaks of a different way of living. Jesus said in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world." He turned everything upside down. Jesus taught about the heart. Jesus taught about a sincere love for God above everything else. He talked about a sincere love for others. Jesus showed us with his life his willingness to step into the mess of this world, into the issues of this world. Jesus went to the lepers and spent time with them. He touched them. He healed them. Nobody else would. He went to the outcast, to those rejected by the world. Then he dies on the cross and he's raised to life. Think about for a minute what we have in Jesus as opposed to Adam in Israel. Adam rejected God in the garden. The people of Israel rejected God and they wandered in the wilderness. Jesus was the opposite, right? Jesus submitted to God in the wilderness when he was tempted. He obeyed. And then again in the Garden of Eden, Jesus surrendered his life and laid it down and went to the cross. Listen, Adam and Israel, big picture in the Bible, that they missed the mission of God. But Jesus completely obeyed the mission of God. And through Jesus, the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God, it continues to advance in the world today. Remember the garden scene, Genesis chapter 1. God tells Adam and Eve, "You've got dominion. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Spread the rule and the reign across the earth." Listen to the Great Commission. Think about the kingdom concept. The last few verses before Jesus returns to heaven. And just think about the Genesis 1 language. It says Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus is saying, "I am the king. I have all authority. I have the rule. I have reign. Because I have the authority, go and make disciples of all nations." Right? He's saying, spread the rule and the reign into the hearts and lives of people, not just here, but across the world. Back to that Genesis 1 concept, fill the earth with the rule and the reign of God as Jesus works in the hearts and lives of people. Listen, what God started in the Garden of Eden, he remakes in the garden where Jesus was raised. Theologian Leonardo Boff says the resurrection is a process that began with Jesus and will go on until it embraces all of creation. But how? Right? How does that happen now? With Jesus back in heaven, how does God advance his kingdom in the here and now? And the answer, it's through you. And it's through me. A people who are a mix of heaven and earth. Heaven, because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And earth, because we see in Genesis, at the very beginning, that God made us from the earth. And as that mixture of heaven and earth, we've been given the mission to advance the kingdom of God, to spread his rule, to spread his reign to a watching world that needs an invitation into a kingdom that has no end. We become his ambassadors. We go into the world representing him where we live, where we work, where we play, where we go to school. And if we do it under his lordship, we're advancing the kingdom. Right? In other words, what we're not just in living to take people one day at the end of their life to the kingdom of heaven. We're working to bring the kingdom of heaven to people here on earth. So how does that happen? How do we do that? How does one enter into the kingdom of heaven? The statement is going to seem obvious at the surface, but I just want you to think about it for a minute and ensure that this is you. Kingdom citizenship is limited to those that follow the king, right? Should be obvious, right? But that shows that we are part of the kingdom of God. We enter into the kingdom of God at the moment of salvation. when we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's in that moment we step off the throne of our lives and place Jesus on the throne, and it's His rule now, His reign in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Jesus said in John 5:24, I say to you, whoever hears me, my words, and believes in God has eternal life. He won't come into judgment. He has passed from death to life. Not he will pass from death to life one day when he dies. He has passed from death to life. He is a part of the kingdom of God. And John chapter 3. You see John 3:16 held up at football games in the end zone, right? One of the most famous, well-known chapters in the Bible. In John 3, that chapter begins with Nicodemus, a ruler coming to Jesus at night. He has seen, he's heard Jesus speak on the kingdom of God. He realizes that Jesus teaches with an authority and a power and a presence that nobody has taught with before, unlike anybody else. Nicodemus, on the other hand, was in the dark. Literally, in the dark, he came at night, and spiritually, he was in the dark. He was searching for God. He wanted to know about the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, you remember what he told Nicodemus? He said, you have to be born again. He's saying that your first birth is not what makes you a part of the kingdom of God. Why would he tell Nicodemus that? Because Nicodemus and a lot of the religious leaders of the day assumed they were automatically a part of the kingdom of God because they were descendants of Abraham. They said, hey, we're part of the kingdom because we were born into the kingdom of God because of who our parents are. And Jesus says, that's not it. He tells Nicodemus and us that the kingdom of God is not about who our parents are. It's not about what we've done or what we can do. It's a spiritual reality because of what Jesus has done, right? We enter into the kingdom of God as we place our faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And their conversation ends with those famous verses that many of us know, John 3:15 and 16. Where Jesus says, listen, whoever believes in me, that's who has eternal life. That's who enters into the kingdom of God. It's through Jesus, right, that we step into the rule and the reign of God. It's through Jesus that we become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and we'll talk about this in the weeks to come, we should do everything we can to advance his kingdom here on earth. As followers of Jesus, what we're part of a kingdom now that's been in existence for eternity. We're part of a kingdom that has a new heaven and a new earth coming. We're part of a kingdom that Paul says in 1 Corinthians, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no heart could even fathom what God has in store for those that love him. As I think about that kingdom, I don't want to be someone that just walks through the motions with the days that God gives me on this earth. I want my heart and my mind to be focused on the rule and the reign of Jesus, on his kingdom here on earth and in eternity. I want the lives of everyone that makes up our church family here to impact the lives of others so they can become a part of the kingdom of God as it advances here as well. Remember, the kingdom of God, it is the realm of God's rule and reign. It's where God rules and where God reigns. And I'm excited to dive into this together these next several weeks. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for Jesus. God, I pray that we would think about what you teach about in your word. We see Jesus constantly teaching on the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds these next several weeks to understand, God, how we are to live as a people that make up your kingdom. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.